Coffee is a big passion for me. Gin is a big passion for me and my partner, and the latest thing being the wine. I almost feel like working on these things gives me energy versus takes my energy.
Welcome to Drinks Adventures, a podcast about drinks and the people who make them. I'm James Atkinson, and in this episode, I'm talking to the founders of Ihana Wine, a boutique brand launched by Finnish Formula One driver Valtteri Bottas in partnership with sixth-generation McLaren Vale company Oliver's Taranga. A 10-time race winner currently driving for the Kick Sauber F1 team, Valtteri shares with us his long-standing passion for wine, and specifically South Australian Shiraz, which has been crystallised through his relationship with South Australian Tiffany Cromwell, the professional cyclist. Listen in as Valtteri opens up about the blending process, collaborating with Oliver's Taranga winemaker, Karina Wright, and how he balances his interests in wine, coffee and gin with the demands of the F1 season. We find out what he thinks of the DR3 wines created by Australian F1 driver Daniel Ricciardo, who we had on the show in early 2023. I've linked to that episode from the show notes. Later on in this episode, I talk again with Karina, who gives her perspective on one of the more unlikely celebrity drinks partnerships that I've been able to share with you on the Drinks Adventures podcast.
Is it 6 p.m. for you?
It's 6 p.m. I'm just actually enjoying a beer before I go home to the family.
yeah, I'm still on the coffee. It's 10 a.m., so...
Nice one. You're currently in Monaco at the moment?
Yes, yeah, I got home last night. So we were actually still after Japan. We were testing for 2 days. And then yesterday I was in the simulator in Switzerland at the factory and got home. So head is a bit all over the place, you know.
I bet. And you must be setting off for China before too long, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm going there on Monday, so at least get a weekend at home.
Yeah. Well, thanks heaps for taking the time to have a chat with us in the middle of the season, which I'm sure, you know, you have many responsibilities and commitments. Look, I thought it'd be really interesting just to kind of go back and hear a little bit about, you know, your first experiences of wine.
Yeah, when I turned 18, I discovered wines. And nice thing about Finland is, because it is not a wine country, you know, the vines, they don't really survive the harsh winters. So it means in the alcohol shops, which is controlled by the Finnish, it's a bit of a monopoly. Really, there's one shop that you can buy anything stronger than 5.5% alcohol. But they have worldwide selection of wines. So then I just like started, you know, at home or, you know, having dinner with family or friends, trying, you know, different kind of wines. And obviously, the more you try from different countries, you get to just learn a bit more. And I just got really interested about the complexity of wine, like how much actually is into it.
It sounds quite sophisticated for a young guy. A lot of people don't kind of discover wines until they're a little bit older than having just reached drinking age, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I was definitely, compared to some of my mates, I was an outlier on that sense that, yeah, sometimes I would just enjoy really nice one glass of red wine with a meal versus they would probably just go always for beer.
And there weren't any particular people who influenced you in your family or whatever to develop this interest?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think, wine was always normal for us at home. But no, I think it was me and, discovering how interesting the world of wine was. And then I tried to learn more watching documentaries, reading a bit about wine and stuff like that. And then obviously when I started to travel more because of racing, I got the chance to visit different countries, try different stuff. And now it has come to the point that almost all the holidays that I have happen to be in wine regions.
So. Yeah. And look, maybe talk to me about what you enjoy drinking and some of the wine destinations that you've been able to visit.
Yeah, my favorite is definitely South Australia.
Well, we like to hear that here, Valtteri. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, it's just hard to get that kind of stuff anywhere else. And the quality, the consistency is so nice. And there's so many still hidden gems, let's say. But I really got into Aussie wines, well, already when I was quite a bit younger. But then when I started traveling for the first time for the Melbourne Grand Prix, managed to try some stuff. And then obviously with my partner, Tiffany, who's from Adelaide, then she took me to many different places around South Australia and discovered that. But yeah, South Aussies, I do like some Californian Cabernets. South America, I do enjoy a lot, like Chile, Argentina. And from Europe, I would probably go for Italy instead of France.
More about red wines, I assume?
Definitely more about red wines, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, sure. Well, talk to me about the Ahana project. When did you first meet Karina and the Oliver's Taranga team, and sort of how did this conversation unfold?
Yeah, now it's a bit more than a year ago. I was having my usual winter break, so summer break in Australia. And yeah, it just came to the point year by year visiting there that I really wanted to do something with some local winery, somehow get involved, get my hands dirty and try and create something that I can be influencing how the wine is going to be. So then actually it was Tiffany's mom knew a person from work whose wife lived at the winery of Oliver's Taranga, and that was Brioni. So Karina's sister. And yeah, managed to get a contact, called them, could I visit? I would like to try some of the wines. Went there and I was like, wow, I've never actually before that heard about the winery. Their stuff was so good and they're super nice people. It's still sixth generation family owned winery in McLarenville. And yeah, then I started asking questions that could we do something? It felt like they were a little bit protective initially because it is quite really united family business, and they've never done collaborations with other people really like this. So eventually we managed to get in terms. They trusted that, yeah, I can be a person. They want to do something, and then we did it. So started immediately working then for the edition one of Ihana. I managed to get the blend together during that same trip. I think I had like a month in Australia at that time. Managed to do some picking as well in before the Melbourne Grand Prix previous year. Yeah, I mean, it almost just like happened and I felt like it was meant to be.
What was your vision for the project? You know, do you have sort of modest ambitions for it in terms of it's just a bit of fun? Or is it sort of like, are you kind of thinking beyond your racing career and looking to establish some business interests in areas that you're passionate about for life beyond racing?
For me, it's just passion, really. Like I said earlier, it came to the point for me that I knew I had to do something. I wanted to get somehow my own kind of blend out there and that way also show my passion for wine and South Australian wine. But yeah, it is a limited production. It's edition one, and edition two will be 5,000 bottles each. So it's not like mass production. So it's quite small amounts in the end, if you're talking about McLarenville Winery. And yeah, for now, the plan is to keep it that way. Keep it as a passion and a new thing that I can, you know, be involved as much as I have time to for the edition. And let's see in the future, but for now it's limited edition and really it's just passion.
So how did you go about that blending process for that first wine release, which I think is still available now? There's still some of it left?
There's still a little bit left, not so much. So if you're interested, be quick. And like I said, we're already working on the edition too. And yeah, the blending process was really interesting. First time for me doing a proper blending session with so many options from different blocks, different type of Shiraz. And initially I was almost a little bit confused because I had like 12 or something like this samples and I loved all of them. But also I could figure out that they were all a bit different. So eventually got there, obviously with the help of Karina, because, you know, when it comes to like, for me, trying to vision how something is going to evolve, how something is going to taste in months to come or then years to come, then that's why I needed really her help. And yeah, tried lots of different things and managed to find a blend that obviously I think is perfect because I made it.
And look, it really sounds like you and Karina have really kind of hit it off and sort of developed a great friendship. What's it been like working with her?
It's been great. Like I think she's really inspirational woman and really good at what she does. She's really dedicating her life for the wine, and it's hard work. Like I didn't actually realize how hard work it is to be a winemaker. You need to be on top of your game all the time, and especially when it comes to, you know, harvesting time and with timing. And yeah, you need to be really good at many different things. So it's been awesome, and their whole family has been great. So really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, we've become good friends.
I really like the packaging, and I think it's very distinctive and very obviously very different to Oliver's Taranga and quite different to a lot of Australian wineries generally. Is that an expression of who you are? And, you know, what was your involvement in that process?
We of course had some people helping us with ideas, but then when we saw the first sketches, after all the feedback that I gave, like how I would like the product to look, it was actually quite straightforward. We had some really talented people working on the design and how it would look. So in the end, that was quite straightforward, and yeah, really happy how it looks. And I think the look of the bottle and the packaging represents the wine very nicely. Like, it is really high quality Shiraz from McLaren Vale, but also quite elegant actually in terms of the taste profile.
And what does the future hold in terms of the, yeah, you mentioned that you're already looking at the second release. And where are these products going to be available? Do they make it over to Finland and outside Australia generally?
Yep. So we did finish the blend already for edition two, but we're going to launch it later this year. And yeah, for the edition one, we had initially just Australia and the USA, more or less 50-50. But then Finland showed so much interest, maybe because also the name, Ihana, meaning wonderful in Finnish, they showed great interest. So we managed to get it to Finland, to some places, as well as there's this Tallink Silja cruise ships that go between Finland and Sweden and Estonia. So that was it for edition one. Edition two, trying to probably spread it a bit more, but yeah, Australia needs to be the number one because it's made there. For sure, when I get some to Finland, US, they seem interested, and we're still looking for other opportunities.
And will you expand beyond Shiraz and look at other grape varieties?
For now, sticking with Shiraz. I really enjoy a lot the Shiraz that they produce at Oliver's Teranga. So for now, that's going to be the one.
And so, you know, you've got a lot of business interests now with, you know, alongside the wine, there's also the gin, and I think there's a coffee venture as well. How do you kind of balance all this stuff with the racing career? It must be very busy.
Yeah, it's a good question. And definitely need to try and manage my time. I am quite busy, that's for sure, with the racing, you know. We have 24 races around the world, plus, you know, the marketing, plus testing, plus simulator stuff, so that's already a lot. But I really find that, you know, all the things that I'm involved, which is always has been like passion first, like, yeah, coffee is a big passion for me, gin is a big passion for me and my partner, and the latest thing being the wine. I almost feel like working on these things gives me energy versus takes my energy, you know? So it's just fun things to do. And when you have passion for something, it really doesn't feel like work. Yeah, of course, I need help as well. So I've got people helping with all these different things. And I can also manage my time consumption depending, you know, the point of the racing season we are in or et cetera. And yeah, so everything is rolling well, actually. And I've got no issues with time at the moment, and gives me lots of good energy working on these things.
Our own Daniel Ricciardo has his own wine brand as well. I was wondering if you'd managed to taste that one.
I have tried it. It's actually nice.
Yeah, okay.
And he's tried mine.
Oh, good. Did you do that together or?
No, I just gave him a bottle last year, but yeah, I think we need to do some kind of competition.
I was going to say,
people. Yeah,
there needs to be a blind tasting. I mean, you're both, by nature of your jobs, extremely competitive guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Definitely need to try and organize that. But yeah, he's a big wine guy as well. He really enjoys it. And obviously, his product is a bit bigger, let's say, in terms of the quantities and the marketing, et cetera. And mine is, yeah, smaller amounts and, yeah, a bit different style. But, yeah, good on him.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, he took a very different approach to you in that, I suppose, working with a brand that's multinationally owned and you've gone with a family company in McLaren Vale, which, you know, and there's advantages and disadvantages of both approaches. For you, was it important that it was kind of a family-type winery that, you know, sharing similar values and that type of thing?
I prefer that, honestly, for me. And like I said, I never had a goal at this point that I would like to produce hundreds of thousands of bottles. So yeah, it's for me, it's just such a nice family to work with. And yeah, 5,000 bottles is not a lot, but I feel like it is enough to share our passion to the world. So with that, I'm happy. And yeah, obviously, making my own blend, the target is not to, you know, get millions out of it, you know. So yeah, I think my day job covers my salary, so I can I can rather focus on the passion side of things.
I'd say it probably does. Yeah, good. And is there much of an opportunity for wine appreciation throughout the year when obviously you're kind of traveling to some of the best places in the world to be able to enjoy wine at certain times, but it's such a grueling, demanding schedule that you have. So do you kind of get the chance to enjoy wine around the F1 schedule?
I do. You know, we do have weeks off, not that many, but we do. And sometimes between the races, I would stay locally or stay in the region. But then back end of the season, when we had races in like Mexico and Brazil, managed to squeeze in a week in Mendoza, Argentina. This year, actually, after the Miami Grand Prix, I'm staying in the US for a week or so and going to explore a bit more California. So, you know, trips like that, I can kind of find on the calendar that actually, yeah, at the same time saves me extra traveling, staying in the region, plus I get more education in wine. So I'll find the time. And it's obviously all about balance. And yeah, the consumption of wine needs to be a bit lower in the racing season than off season, but that's fine.
Do you have dreams of purchasing vineyards or anything along those lines?
There's always dreams. I've every now and then been looking what's out there in South Australia in terms of land or wineries and stuff. But at the moment, you know, I'm still a bit too busy to jump into a big thing like that. So never say never, but there's always dreams.
And before we let you go, how are you feeling about the F1 season so far and thoughts on going into the China event?
It's been a challenging season for us so far. We definitely improved the car from the first race. We've been able to bring upgrades and the pace has been getting better, but we've had quite a lot of issues with pit stops, which has definitely cost us some points. I think a good example was in Melbourne. Actually, the race was going quite okay, but then we had an issue at the stop. So still working on that side. And once we can get those fixed, then we can, I think, better see the potential. But I have to say now in F1, getting into top 10 is quite tricky. It seems to be like this. It's pretty set in terms of the order of teams, which covers the top 10. And then we are there kind of battling for those last one or two points at the moment. So there's still a bit of performance gaps between teams, but long way to go. And looking forward to China, which is actually my teammate's home Grand Prix for the very first time. So it should be pretty big for our team, I think.
Wonderful. Well, Valtteri, congratulations on the wines and best of luck going into the China Grand Prix and, you know, for the rest of the season.
Thank you, mate.
That was Valtteri Bottas. And his collaborator on the Ihana Wines project is Karina Wright, whose family winemaking history spans more than 180 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you'd told me a few years ago that I'd be, heading over to the Austin Grand Prix to launch a wine with a Formula One player, driver. See, this is how green I am. I would have laughed in your face. But obviously, Valtteri's girlfriend, Tiffany, is South Australian, so they come back here fairly regularly. And it just happens that her mum actually works with my cousin Bryony's husband. So anyways, there's a bit of a, connection there. And Tiffany as well are always been super interested in wine, goes to wine regions wherever he goes and has, really loves South Australian wine. And so her mum suggested that they come and visit us, asked us if they could visit. Everyone got very excited and, put a 77 and on our golf buggy and drove them around the vineyard. But we thought that would sort of be the end of it, but kept on coming back and kept on tasting more and kept on wanting to learn more about us and the winery and the wines, and then eventually asked if we'd be interested in doing collaboration wine with him. So,
yeah, as you know, these celebrity wine collaborations often tend to be with the multinationals. So earlier this year I interviewed Alan Border about the one that he did with Sanguin Estate in Heathcote. And so I think it's really cool to see that sort of more boutique wineries are getting these opportunities as well.
Yeah, for sure. This, we weren't out hunting for a celebrity endorsement or, anything like that. It wasn't even within our remit or our radar. I think the attraction came because, he's just a great guy and we really got on well. We're calling him now our cousin from the north. He, knew what he was talking about in terms of tasting, like his palate. He really wanted to be involved. You know, he wasn't after a, I don't know, whatever those types of payments are that, you know, to be a brand ambassador or anything like that. He really wants to do things that he loves.
So tell me what his involvement has been with putting the wine together and packaging it. And so when did that process actually begin?
Basically, the first visits were last year, sort of during December, January type of time. And so, yeah, we started talking about it and thought, yep, let's, okay, we're going to do something. And that, he was obviously back for the Grand Prix in Melbourne, which was vintage time for us. So he came over and spent 3 days staying with us in McLaren Vale and was in the vineyard and was in the winery with the 23 vintage. Also, we got out all of our batches of 22 Shiraz, which our vineyard's actually quite big, so we've got lots of different batches of Shiraz that I make separately, and we did a bit of a blending session. So he basically pulled together the blend with a bit of support from me of the 22. Meanwhile, we worked on labelling all together, naming. Ihana is the name that we went with because it's the first thing that came into his mind when he tasted our wines, and it means wonderful, lovely in Finnish.
And some pretty beautiful and quite distinctive packaging and very, very different to Oliver's Taringa.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So we wanted to, you know, obviously have it be a standalone wine, a standalone brand. You know, we weren't sort of after, you know, chasing all of just the Oliver's Taringa people. It's a pretty small batch as well. We worked with David Byerly from Byerly. He's a graphic designer. He actually works with us with our labels as well. He's also a massive Formula One fan, of course. So, well, the other thing that Valtteri didn't really want was it to be, you know, super Formula One looking. I think that this is sort of something that he wants to live on after his Formula One career. So basically Dave came up with the idea of the two hemispheres. So the silver on the top of the label is sort of the cold north of Finland, and then the bronze or copper on the bottom of the label is Australia, the sort of drier, warmer continent. And then the lines sort of represent rows of vines or roads, which is Valtteri, I suppose. So, yeah, that's how it all sort of came together.
And tell me about the Finnish wine stylistically. Is it quite different to the Oliver's Taringa kind of house style?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's obviously it's come from our vineyard still, and it's still come from the blocks that we have access to. But he wanted probably a slightly larger expression, but also he found in one of the blocks a real, which is a younger block of vines, but so still 10, 12 years old, but had a beautiful nose that reminded him of bilberries in Finland, which is their sort of local blueberry. So he wanted to sort of add a bit of that to the nose, so a bit of lift to the nose, but still have that generosity through the palate. So it ended up being two different blocks that he blended, and you know, a little bit of the bilberry lift on the nose and then sort of more structure and everything from our 106 block. So, yeah.
And tell me about the experience of travelling to the Grand Prix, and have you sort of become a bit of a fan off the back of that?
Yeah, we definitely started watching Drive to Survive. My husband's already been a fan for a long time and my son, but we watched a bit of Drive to Survive. We're not going to the US until the Austin Grand Prix, which is coming up in October. We're doing a US release dinner. So people in Austin are buying tickets at the moment to come to dinner with us at Valtteri's favourite steakhouse, which is called Perry's in Austin, which has been pretty exciting. So my husband definitely, he doesn't usually like to come on wine, you know, wine trip things with me, but he was very happy to put his hand up and be a handbag on this trip. So, myself and my cousin Sam, we've sort of been spearheading this project, so we'll both be going over. And his girlfriend also is a massive Formula One fan and has been for years. So the husband and his girlfriend decided that they would tag along as well.
Yeah, and with it being sourced from, you know, the fruit in your own vineyards, is there kind of like a ceiling to how big this can possibly get, or is there always ways of kind of increasing the scale if you decide to go down that path?
Yeah, well, at the moment we only take about 40% of our fruit from our own vineyard.
Right.
So, and we sell it to lots of other people, Penfolds and Darrenberg and all sorts of others locally. So we're on a bit of a growth trajectory anyway. However, yeah, I'm sure there is a bit of a ceiling. We only made 5,000 bottles, and it comes just in two packs. we wanted to make sure that, you know, we could sort of share it out as much as possible. So 2,500 people will be able to get their hands on it. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. You know, it's a big adventure that we're going on, not really putting any rules around it. Valder is very keen for it to continue into the future. So hopefully it'll work. Yeah.
And is there any talk of expanding to additional varieties or additional products?
You know, if you talk to him traveling around the world, he goes to wine regions all over the world, but South Australian Shiraz is really what he loves. So I feel like we might sit in that pocket for a little while, but, you know, maybe I'll convince him into Fiano and, you know, Grenache a bit later on. So we'll see.
Yeah, Grenache for sure. Fantastic, Karina. Well, yeah, congratulations on the Ihana project, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
Thanks, James.